Casper and Murray have scorching hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Casper!
Hey, Murray.
Casper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Casper!
Hey, Murray.
Casper!
Hey, Murray.
Casper!
Hey, Murray.
Casper!
We're here.
Casper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub, coming to you from the Town Fair Tire Studio here in Waltham. I'm here. Chris is here. Suck it, doubters. 3 for 3.
3 for 3. Imagine that.
100% hit rate. See, we do the show.
Should change the name.
Nope. Both here. Both doing the show. I do have to ask, when the hell do you sleep? You make me look like, I thought I was a night owl. I wake up, I see you're sending sound requests to our fill-in producer today, the great Ryan Beaton. Morning, Ryan. But 2 a.m., like past 2 a.m., when the hell do you sleep?
Oh, it depends. You know, I was writing a column last night, and then I had to walk the dog. So that's when I sent that email request. I was out there. You know, I do a lot of my best thinking when I'm walking the dog.
Yeah, and I'm usually at my best, like, late at night. But I need to make sure I get my 7 to 8 hours, because without that, boy, am I a Mr. Grumpy Pants, even more than usual. I mean, my baseline is just pissed, but yeah, without like 7 or 8 hours, ugh, I don't know. I don't even want to imagine that. So, well, and even then, you still seem more awake and bright-eyed and bushy-tailed than I do this morning. But then again,
I am a nocturnal creature.
All right. Well, with that, you're also a bit of a, you know, kicking a hornet's nest type of guy, too. Yesterday, on your usual appearance on Felger and Maz, right around 4:30, Mike asked you, you know, what do you think the situation is with Tom Brady? Has he played his last game? Blah, blah, blah. And you said this.
With Brady, I think some of these teams think if they get Bill O'Brien, maybe they can get Brady too, that it ups their chance.
And do you think the Patriots are one of those teams?
I do. Yes.
How about that? And all of a sudden, we're like, oh, come on, where is this coming from? Now, not a report, but speculation, but you think it could be in play because of Bill O'Brien. Well, also wake up to see this morning from Ian Rappaport of NFL Network, the title of the article, Tom Brady to take time away before making decision on future. Buccaneers players feel like he's leaving. Well, before we even get into some of the meat of the article and the juiciest part of this and how it correlates to what you said yesterday in Felger and Maz, no surprise there. Like, I don't think he even wanted to be there this year in Tampa.
No, that wasn't the plan. A lot of people have reported the plan was for him to be in Miami with Sean Payton. And then everything that went down with Brian Flores and his lawsuit there, which made a lot of sense with Miami, sort of took that out of the mix. And then he had to figure out, okay, do I want to spend all this time at home with Giselle, or do I want to trudge back to the Buccaneers? And ultimately he trudged back to the Buccaneers.
Yeah, I think he wanted to try to work with them to, you know, work a trade and get out of there.
Yes.
And to their credit, and I said it at the time, even though, boy, what a miserable slug of a season that was, and so tough to watch. Just even watching that playoff game, too. If you hadn't paid attention to Bucs games during the year, like, wow, they're terrible. Yeah, we told you. Like, I think I missed one game during the regular season watching them, one or two. That's what it looked like at its worst. So no one should have been surprised there. But that said, I give credit to the Bucs for saying, look, we know you're a fiend for football. This is your crack. And the only place you can get it in 2022 is here. And they knew that. They kind of had him over a barrel there.
Yeah, yeah. No, they definitely did. And, look, the season obviously didn't go well for them. They made the playoffs. They were 8-9. And if you watch Brady play, I mean, he didn't want to get hit. And that's his biggest problem at this point, is that after 23 seasons of taking hits, he looks like a guy that doesn't want to take any more. And they had massive offensive line issues. They had no tight end. And they never found a reliable third option. And, I mean, they scored fewer offensive – I wrote this. I mean, they scored fewer offensive points than the Patriots, which is hard to imagine, but they did.
Yeah, and I'll tell you – so I don't know if you feel the same, but if it's going to look like that, like it did on Monday night, I then retire. Like, if it's going to look like that and he's a guy trying to shy away from hits, and I know what some of the stats are, and the arm still looks live,
yeah,
but you can't play in the NFL like that. And I know, it's again, it's a quarterback-driven, pass-happy league, blah, blah, blah. They protect the quarterback, but – some of those with Micah Parsons barreling down on him, it looked like me out there like,
So let me ask you a question, though, about this. And this is something I sort of look at it. If they had a better team, because he was kind of in 2019, I saw some similar self-preservation.
Totally.
If he had a better team and he felt like if I take these hits, we're going to win a championship, do you think he would have done it?
Yeah, maybe.
Because I do. Yeah. I think he was like, eh.
The hell with this. I'm going to half-ass it.
Not even I'm going to half-ass it, but I'm 45. I might want to keep going. I want to go out on my own terms. Taking these hits is not worth it for this team. Well, and I know that's a terrible attitude, but I'm just telling you. I think he's like, this team, where we're headed, I'm not taking these hits.
Yeah. And believe me, as someone who is about self-preservation and half-assing it when you know it's a sinking ship, I mean, I get that. But if he is going to continue to play, again, if it's going to look like that, I'm all set. But if he is going to rededicate himself, not go to people's weddings like he did to Robert Kraft's wedding, and it's great that they have mended fences there. But, you know, that's maybe one of the main reasons they lost that Pittsburgh game earlier in the year when Pittsburgh was reeling. He goes to Kraft's wedding the night before, misses the walkthrough practice, like, oh, I'll just show up game day. We'll beat the Steelers. No. And then he's losing his mind in the offensive line. Like, bad look. Well, anyway, Ian Rappaport, like I said this morning on NFL.com with the column, Tom Brady to take time away before making decision on future. Bucks players feel he's leaving. Moving down here, one said, surprised if he's back. Another opined he sounded like a person saying goodbye for good. And according to those close to him, Brady wants to head into his few weeks of decision-making time with an open mind. He'll attempt to spend time with his children, allow the emotions to hit him, and consider his options. The options are as follows. Play again for the Bucks, which is appearing less and less likely based on these accounts. Retire at age 45, as he always planned. He also apparently has a 10-year, $375 million deal with Fox Sports awaiting when he's ready. And then here we get to the juicy part. Play for another team after signing as a free agent, similar to the 2020 offseason. Among the teams potentially in the running are the Raiders, no big surprise there, 49ers, hopefully they get knocked off because that's the best landing spot for them. That team is stacked, and I've had enough hearing about Brock Purdy. Titans, Mike Vrabel connection.
Titans would have to get some weapons.
Yeah, that's a sucky team. And others. There's the key two words. Among the teams potentially in the running are the Raiders, 49ers, Titans, and others. And you believe it could be, the Patriots could be, an other.
I mean, I don't think he's coming back here, but I think if you get Bill O'Brien, it goes from your chances go from none to very slim. You know, it opens the door a crack. And a lot of these teams feel like Bill O'Brien is a guy who could entice Brady to ultimately come here. I mean, this is Rick Stroud reported this in Tampa that the Bucks were sniffing around Bill O'Brien because they thought it could potentially help them retain Brady. So if Bill O'Brien ends up coming here, I think that's yet another feather in the cap of Bill O'Brien, yet another reason you would want him. Is it would take something that would be completely off the table and give you a very small chance of it happening.
Would you want it?
Would I want it? Yeah, I want it. Yes. Yeah, I would want it. I mean, it's Tom bleeping Brady. It would be great to see him back. And I assume if it happened that, again, there's been some sort of, you know, detente between Kraft and Brady, Belichick and Brady, whatever. So I assume if it happened, like Bill O'Brien would basically be what Josh McDaniels sort of was to some degree at the end. Although even that Brady McDaniels relationship, I don't want to say it soured, but it sort of took a turn.
Got icy.
A little bit. But I think Bill O'Brien would be the buffer. Like you'd still need a buffer between Brady and Bill. And that's the only way it could work. And that's why Bill O'Brien would be key to it. And why the only way to me it could even remotely happen would be if Bill O'Brien were here.
Yeah, God. Oh, this makes me like, the thought of it just makes me pissed. Because if I'm Brady, like, why would you want to come back here after they chose the coach over him, after Bill clearly wanted him out at the end? And I don't believe in bailouts, Chris. Bailouts make me angry, whether it's the banks, the airlines, or this team. They would be getting bailed out if Brady came back here, and they don't deserve to be let off the hook for that. For that decision on moving on from him. And a lot of you people, too, you don't deserve it based on how you've turned on him since he left. And if
that part's definitely true. Part of me would like to see it just for the reaction. Just like
Of course, people would have their short memories and pretend that they didn't
bash him. Jonathan Jones, like, backpedaling that so many people would do. The people that were like, oh, you know, he's washed, or I can't root for, or stop. How many times over the years since he left have you gotten the stop talking about Brady? He doesn't play here anymore. And then all of a sudden, if he came back, Oh my God, that would be.
He was the linchpin to it all. All the success, all of it. All the tentacles went out to the other teams. I believe that now. Like, since he's left, what's it been? You know, a disaster, basically.
25 and 26.
And so, like, I'd like to think that that is mentioned in Ian Rappaport's column this morning are the Jets, maybe Miami. I know they're saying all the right things about Tua Tagovailoa, and they believe in him going forward after the concussions and how he missed towards the end of the year here. Like, I just, look, they have to have an open mind about looking somewhere else at quarterback. So if he's still going to play, he's going to have to go to a stacked team. That's the other thing here, too. So, okay, yep, there's been the detente. It's less icy between him, Bill, Robert, blah, blah, blah.
They would have to get somebody.
Yeah, they're not good enough.
No, they would have to get like a DeAndre Hopkins, you know, to go along with what they have. I mean, they do have, you know, Hunter Henry. I think he'd like playing with him. They have the running game. I don't know what would happen with Jacoby Myers if they'd retain him. I think that could work out. But they would have to go get like a legit number one receiver. And you couldn't get like a rookie. You couldn't do the N'Keal Harry thing again. That wouldn't work out. It's interesting. Like, one thing I do. So here's one thing that I do know sort of in terms of Brady that I was told, because, you know, this thing we're talking about now is not a report by me, he would never come back here with Matt Patricia as the offensive coordinator. That would never happen.
Well,
so like the only way, there's no way. So like the only way, again, I think there's even a slim chance of this is if Bill O'Brien gets hired here.
And so where are we with that? They had five interviews this week. The last was yesterday with Sean Jefferson, who's now the wide receivers coach.
Yeah.
With Arizona, a name that also makes me feel a million because I like literally remember Zoe throwing that bomb to him against San Francisco in, what was that, 97?
His son's in the league. His son plays for the Rams.
Yeah, Van. Yeah. No, it's just Asante Samuel Jr.
I know.
it's just, God, getting old blows. But where are they with Bill O'Brien? Is this like a fait accompli? Like, is it all a matter of time? Has this not been announced yet? Because they're, and I feel like part of this is we haven't really heard anything. It's because the NFL's in divisional weekend here. It's one of the great weekends in sports. It's a good weekend for the league. You hold off for some of this stuff until, like, Monday or Tuesday.
I mean, look, I think Bill O'Brien's clearly the number one choice. I think when you look at upper management ownership, however you want to characterize it, that's the guy that they're interested in. For Bill O'Brien, he has options, and it's a question, I think, of figuring out what's the best option. There's a lot of pull for this area for Bill O'Brien being from here. People that he knows, he has a place down the Cape. He could get the best services for his child. There's a lot of things that make sense here, but also you have to sort of understand as well, you know, are you walking into sort of, you don't want to be like Dom Capers walking into a hornet's nest. But remember when Dom Capers was here? I always remember Rodney Harrison saying like, yeah, Bill doesn't really let Dom do any of his stuff. So they brought Dom Capers on board as an assistant, and then Bill basically sidelined him, iced him. And so you don't want that to happen to you if you're Bill O'Brien. You want to make sure that Bill is fully on board with you coming here and that there'll be no ill will and that the relationship will be good and all that other stuff. And you also want to make sure you're going to get the leeway that you probably want. So, and I think from the Patriots side, they probably want some sort of commitment too, that it's not going to be like a one and done thing. Like, he's not going to be here for a year and then all of a sudden start pursuing head coaching jobs, and then Bill Belichick or whomever has to do this all over again. Like, that's one thing I know that's important to Bill, and it factored into what happened last year with Patricia and Judge. He doesn't want to have to do this every year. He doesn't want to have to do this assistant search like every single year. He's looking for some loyalty and a little bit of a commitment.
All right, so we'll be Pats heavy, football heavy this first hour. I promise we'll also touch on the goings on in Springfield last night, which. Wow. I mean, I thought that kind of thing had maybe like just gone. Like, that was people being pissed and trying to hold these teams accountable is just, it's just the memory of an old man now. Because I mean, I see how some of you react, especially Celtics fans, and we'll get to you coming up in like 45 minutes. Say nice things about Tatum. Yeah. But boy, did you made an old man's proud heart proud last night. The way, it's so good. So we'll touch on what happened with the Red Sox in Springfield last night with their winter weekend. But if O'Brien is here, and if Bill O'Brien's going to come back, does that mean Tom Brady's going to come back too? And do you want that? I don't. 617-779-0985. It's Casper Murray here on the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Is 98.5 the Sports Hub.
Sounds like fact, not opinion to me.
And this is Gasper and Murray.
How much is the Bill O'Brien thing tied to all the smoke that's been going on really for more than a month now about the idea that Brady would come back here? Do they feel like they have a better chance to get Brady back here if Bill O'Brien's here?
What are you doing? What, do you really think this is worth your time, your breath?
I'm just saying, like, it seems like Brady really has an interest in Bill O'Brien as someone that would make it easier for him.
Where's this
keep playing?
Where's this coming from? Yeah, I haven't heard anything about this.
Me neither. What the hell
are you talking about?
Didn't you guys read the story in Tampa that was down there about Bill O'Brien potentially coming there? This was before Leftwich was even fired, that they were sniffing around Bill O'Brien because they thought it would give him a better chance with Brady. I think some of these teams think if they get Bill O'Brien, maybe they can get Brady too, that it ups their chance.
And do you think the Patriots are one of those teams?
I do. Yes.
I love that clip, not just because Chris said what he said in his appearance on Felger and Maz yesterday, but it's more because that clip really just, to me, sums up Felger and Maz as a show. We don't like what we're hearing, so here comes the dog pile. What? Where'd you get that? Boom. Dogpile on Gasper.
I mean, I didn't think it was like any, first of all, it definitely wasn't a report, but I didn't think I was saying anything that you guys didn't know. I mean, that's kind of been out there. Like, it wasn't some revolutionary, like, thing. I mean, that's been reported. People have talked about it in NFL circles that there could be a connection between Brady and Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, and look, I can understand from ownership standpoint and Robert's standpoint why you'd want to do it. The buzz would be ridiculous.
Yeah.
But how long does that buzz last? Like, again, it's not a stacked team. They got a lot of holes. You need two tackles, let alone one. Like, there's still a lot of work to be done there, and I just think it's almost like a lateral move for Brady if he were to go to the Bucs to come to a team like this that has struggled offensively. It's not just about the quarterback here. And I know the coaches, we all know what happened.
They have a much
year.
Patriots have a much better running. The Buccaneers have the worst running game in the league.
Fair.
I mean, there's a much better running game here to support him if he were to come here. Say what you will. I mean, you know, I know we've been critical of Bill. He's still a great coach. I think we've just seen the last 3 years that there's a limit on what great coaching can mean for a team. It's not quite what everybody here thought it was. Great coaching can't be the centerpiece of a championship contender. We've learned that. Can we all agree on that now? Probably not, but it's a fact.
Yeah.
So he'd have the coaching. So, I mean, I don't think the situation, again, I don't think it's going to happen, but I don't think the situation here is as bad as maybe people think it is.
Okay, and so the other thing, too, is the relationship's thawed between those two. Again, after the Bucs come in here 2 seasons ago and win that game, which was not what I wanted to see. It was nice that they won, but I wanted the blowout. I wanted the spiteful blowout. But Bill spends, as we remember, like 45 minutes bothering Tom and the Bucs after the game in their locker room. So everything's fine there, so it seems. But to me, I obviously have my my Bill biases, but doesn't that kind of stain his legacy a little bit if Brady did come back, in that
it does kind of prove, like, see, I did kind of need him to win.
You know, I just think that would be a bad look for Bill and his legacy if he had to, like, because I would push that narrative of, like, oh, you had to come crawling back, didn't you? You needed your real love. You needed Brady to actually turn things around.
But let me ask you, I mean, does it feel like Bill is the captain of the ship this offseason?
Yeah, and, like, no, it doesn't, because of, the press release put out about that we're, extending Mayo and we're going to be doing these OC searches. He hadn't seen anything like that before, but I don't know. Part of me maybe feels like that's just PR, you know, to make it look like there are things changing here. Like, how much has he been snipped?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is an element here, and you sort of hit on it. The brand's taken a hit, and you better believe the Crabs care about that. I mean, that they care about the brand. They care about the business aspect of it. I told you, those last couple of games, maybe it was just because they were around the holidays against Cincinnati and Miami. There was, like, no buzz pregame. There was no buzz until they started doing something on the field in those games. And it the fact they put out that letter to the season ticket holders the day after, I mean, that sort of tells you that the lack of buzz is real and something that is concerning to them. You want to generate buzz I can't think of a better or bigger way to do it than if you were to bring Brady back.
Well, on that, how about Lamar Jackson then? Because I think it was Bet Online earlier this week had the Patriots as the betting favorite to land Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, that surprised
this
me.
Yeah, me too.
It surprised me, not because I don't think the Patriots would be interested, but
the money.
Well, the money, but also the Ravens are going to trade him to the Patriots?
Well, right, yeah, there's real disdain between those two organizations.
That doesn't seem like something that... I mean, the Ravens would probably rather let him sit out the year, hold out, and rot than trade him to Belichick.
I would agree with that. But of the two, who would you prefer?
Lamar Jackson.
Same.
Yeah, he's a longer window, absolutely. But let me ask you this, because you mentioned the money. So who's going to cost you more? Lamar Jackson's going to cost you first-round picks. He wants a fully guaranteed deal.
Right, he's going to get like $45
million. Yeah, guaranteed. Like $40 million. I had someone email me this morning, you know, upset about this, whatever, you know, saying, oh, it's BS, it's this, you know, there's no way they're going to pay Brady $40 million a year. Brady's not going to get $40 million a year. When has Brady ever gotten, like, top of the market?
Well, especially
for
now,
a quarter? I mean, 46. It was the one time when he got the $72 million deal, but even then, I remember back then, Tom Condon, who represented Breeze and Peyton Manning, and all those guys were mad because they're like, you didn't even break $20 million. That was like, it was literally like, Tom, you had one job.
Yeah, right.
One job.
Get that money.
$20 million per year. That was like easy, and you took $18 million per year. So he would cost less than Jackson. So, I mean, when you look at it, which guy's like more cost effective overall?
Well, it does feel like to me, too, quickly on Bill O'Brien himself, just coming here, something Mike pointed out yesterday, too, which was a good point, in that, you know, Bill O'Brien's done this interview this week. You haven't heard him connected to any of the other teams. And there's 12 more outside of the Patriots looking for an offensive coordinator. Yeah. And some, I think, that are far more palatable than coming here. I think they're maybe middle of the pack, maybe three or four. But Chargers, Ravens, I think, are 1-2, just based on the quarterbacks. It sounds like the Ravens are going to end up extending Lamar Jackson. So assume that they are. But to work with Herbert and Lamar Jackson, like, I think that's more palatable than coming here. But he hasn't been connected to any of these teams.
Yeah, I mean, he's been connected a little bit with, I think, Tennessee. I'm not saying, you know, when you say connected, you mean like he's done an interview?
Done interviews or anything like that.
Yeah,
no buzz about that.
The only thing I've heard interview-wise is definitely the Patriots. But I think other people have looked at it and said he's friendly with Mike Vrabel. Obviously, he had Vrabel on his staff in Houston. I'm pretty sure other teams have reached out to him. I don't know where that stands at this point. I think if you're the Patriots, it's great if you're his number one choice. I think that puts you in a position of authority with this situation. I think that puts you in an enviable position. So that's a good thing because he will have choices. Trust me, there are more teams than the Patriots interested in Bill O'Brien.
All right. Well, if O'Brien comes back here, does that mean that Tom Brady is connected with him? And would you want that? 617-779-0985. Tom and Newton first up here on Gaspar Murray this morning. Hi, Tom.
Yeah, hey, guys. So, you know, this Brady coming back. I mean, I'm sorry with you guys. You know, I don't think it's realistic. I don't think it's going to happen. But just looking at it practically for a moment, you know, I think it sort of relates to a take that, you know, Felger had way back when, which is a little bit of a controversial take, but I think it's very valid, which is that the Patriots have had one run. Now, it was one very long, unbelievable, you know, just the greatest run in NFL history, sure. But when you look at these other teams, you know, story teams, and the Steelers, the Cowboys, teams that have had, you know, multiple eras, multiple coaches and quarterbacks, like, it doesn't solve the problem of, you know, okay, we got Bill, but who's the next guy? What's the next thing we're going to do? I mean, you bring Brady back, yeah, like, we know that works. We know that works really well, but it doesn't solve the problem of what you do next. And more than anything else, I'm with you, Jim. The Patriots don't deserve that after what's happened here, after, you know, how Brady was handled on the way out the door. And it really doesn't solve anything for them. They still have to figure out what the next thing is. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Tom. And that's the thing. It puts the future on hold. So maybe ownership also believes in Mac Jones. I would think you would have to, if this ever happened.
Yeah.
You have to trade Mac Jones because given his attitude, where he was drafted, and I wouldn't blame him on this, like, what am I doing? I'm now sitting behind this guy? Like, you're putting another year on hold for me after you saddled me with these two dopes as my offensive coordinator and the quarterback's coach and Matt Patricia and Joe Judge? Oh, F this. I'm out. I don't know how that would work.
I mean, I don't think you'd be happy about it, and it would depend on how he felt about it and how the Patriots wanted to proceed. Look, again, I don't think this is going to happen, but let's play the game, the dominoes. Hypothetically, Brady lands here. So now if you're Vegas, right, you're like, oh, man, where are we going to go? Okay, like Jimmy Garoppolo went somewhere else. He went to New Orleans. While we really like Mac, you want to give up, hey, Josh, Dave, you want to give up number 7 in the draft for Mac? Oh, yeah, we'll take him. Then maybe that's what you do. Yeah. Or if Mac's still here, you look at it and say, here you go, son. Sit down and see how it's done for a year.
Yeah, I don't know how we would how he would take to that. Cooper in the car next here on Gaspar Murray. Hey, Cooper.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. What I wanted to say was no Patriot fan should want Brady to come back. First off, it's never going to be as good as it ever was. And you're not going to win a Super Bowl with Brady. So like you said, you're delaying your future. You got to get rid of Mac. And then you're going to end up making the playoffs most likely and get a terrible position in the first round. So who are you going to draft the next year when Brady's done? You are not in a position to take Brady back. And I think if they do, it's solely a Kraft move and it's for money, like you said earlier, Gaspar. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Yeah, one big cash grab. I think a caller made the analogy when we just, you know, talked about it for a second, you know, before you said what you said yesterday. It's like when these bands that hate each other get back together for the cash grab, like Motley Crue. It'd be like, you know, he's in better shape than Vince Neil, but like having Vince Neil waddle out on stage, barely able to sing. Whoa! Yeah, trying to catch his breath. Can't stop my holding the microphone out hard and never stop. Like it's not the same. You're living in the past. It's time to move on for all parties. Let him go somewhere else. And again, if it looks like it looked Monday, just retire, dude. Oh, and I knew it too, Chris. Just law of averages.
Yeah,
because I went into that weekend, me being the grump that I am, most of these games are going to suck. Who wants to watch Ravens Bengals with the Ravens without a quarterback?
Yeah. Ugh.
Who wants to watch Miami and Buffalo? That game will be over in 5 minutes. It was a great weekend.
It was, actually.
Even the Seahawks Niners game was good for like almost three quarters.
It was pretty good.
And so I knew it. I was like, well, these four games are good. I know which one's going to blow. And sure enough, oh, God, that was so bad on Monday night. Ugh. Ugh. Yeah, ended up watching MILF Manor instead. 12-0. I'll tell this. I don't care.
Yeah, go ahead.
12-0 that game was. They should have went for it on fourth and short midfield. They didn't. I said, I'm good. I don't need to watch any more of this because I've watched enough of these suck Bucks games this year. I'll catch up with it later or watch the highlights.
Can I just say as a quick aside, like, you know, again, I know not everybody, you know, pays as close attention to the Bucks as you and I do. But I just thought it was so funny, like, listening around here, and not even like fans, more like media members like Felger and Michael Hawley be like, oh my God, did you see Brady? He doesn't want to take any hits now. Oh, it's like, have you been, like,
no,
you obviously
haven't.
Have not spent a single second watching him play this year. Like, that's what it was all year long. You know, pirouetting out of pressure, you know, spinning out of throws, avoiding hits. Like, it was almost like they're like, oh my God, like this playoff game, he just decided he didn't want to play. It's like, no, dude.
It's
have you watched him
all year
long with this horrible offensive line? This is what he's been doing. Like, this is nothing new. It might be new to you because you haven't been watching. But this is not new.
Every time you look up, it's them running into a wall, and then it's like 3rd and 8, and they don't pick it up.
This is what
time and time again.
First down, Brady's a little under pressure, rolls out to his right, chunks it into the ground. 2nd and 10, handoff to Rashad White for like a yard.
Yep,
3rd and 9, shotgun, Brady waiting, about to get hit, spins out of a throw, throws it over the middle. It's off the hands of Chris Godwin. Punt. That was their season.
All year long.
Yep.
All right, one open line you want to join us. If Bill O'Brien came here, is he connected to Tom Brady? Would you want that? Brady coming back. Again, it's like these, let's get together for the cash grab. Sure, we hate each other, but people will come. They will for a time. Then they'll realize, oh, this is gross. 617-779-0985. Your call's next.
This is Chris Gasper.
I'm not the one who's red-faced and ranting, so who's the baby?
This is Big Jim Murray.
Takes in your face, sports.
And this is Gasper and Murray on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I don't get the sense that things are accelerating with Bill O'Brien.
Interesting, isn't it?
They haven't yet, and it sort of makes you wonder what's going on there. You know, as far as I know, like, he's still sort of doing his job as the Alabama offensive coordinator, and you know, we'll see, but I don't think like he has a whole lot more insight into the way all this is happening than any of the rest of us do right now. So it'll be interesting to see which way this goes, because I do think he has an interest in coming back. I also think it'll get interesting because of what's going to happen in Tennessee here, because the Titans, if you look now, they had a general manager search and they have an offensive coordinator search. The general manager search is now complete. They went and hired Rand Carthon, Maurice's son, from...
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Maurice was great, too, man.
Rand's a great dude, too. They got that one out of the way now. And they got that one out of the way. And so now, like, you'd think they get the offensive coordinator search rolling, and Billy's very close with Vrabel. So plot sort of thickens now.
Sure does.
Yeah, like when you add flour to a stew, thickens it up real nice. Bert Breer, MMQB, on with Zolak and Bertrand earlier this week. So again, they've had the interview, but while it feels like a lock, it's not a lock until the contract is signed. And so the Titans, they could come into this. They now have the new GM, Rand Carthon, and obviously has the relationship in the past from Mike Vrabel when he was on the staff in Houston. And so, you know, there could be another team that comes in all of a sudden and blows O'Brien away. And if you've been clamoring for Bill O'Brien, it ain't done yet, you know. So there's also the potential of a Brady connection. You know, maybe Bill O'Brien comes here. He's the buffer. Brady coming back. What do you think of that? I want to puke in my mouth at the thought of that. 617-779-0985. We'll go to Nate in Bridgewater next here on Gasper. Hi, Nate.
What's up, guys? Can you hear me okay?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, all right. So I can probably speak for most Patriots fans when I would say, you know, I would love the idea of Brady coming back. It would obviously be, you know, a storybook ending, blah, blah, blah. Who's to say that Brady, after seeing what this offensive line looked like this past year, would want to come back? I mean, we can all assume, right, that they're going to take the best left guard available with their draft pick this year. I mean, I think that's what they should do. But yeah. would he want a rookie left tackle? That's what I said.
No, you said left guard.
Oh, well, either way.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
We know you meant.
Yeah, left tackle. So who's to say Brady wants a rookie left tackle blocking his blind side and possibly his last year of playing football?
Oh, no, that's a good point.
Does that offensive line look like something you'd want to be, you know, standing behind in your last year?
No. It's a good point. It's definitely a good point, and there would have to be some element of faith. Here's the thing for Tom, and we'll see if he even wants to play. I think a lot of it will be dependent upon, is there a situation out there that makes sense for him to play in terms of from an on-field standpoint? And then how does that match up with the family stuff? You know, you sort of hear that the idea of playing 3,000 miles away from his kids is not, like, terribly appealing. Now, you've heard some of that stuff in the past, and when push comes to shove, honestly, what does he normally choose?
No, he chooses
the football.
His precious football that he needs.
So maybe that's all smoke, but I definitely have heard that that's not appealing to him, and that he would like to be closer to the kids with Giselle, who are in South Florida, and obviously his eldest child, Jack, is in New York with Bridget Moynihan, who's a delight. So I think that when you look at that, you know, where's the situation for him? Is it the Jets? It's not going to be the Giants with the way Daniel Jones has played. Yeah, Miami would be ideal. But again, after watching him struggle to reach those handoffs against the Cowboys, do you think Mike McDaniel's like, I can't wait to plug this guy in my Shanahan offense?
No, especially, you know, given his age, that he would have to, they would want him to roll out. Like, that's the thing. Like, while I would think if the Niners end up getting tripped up here and they realize Brock Purdy, you know, has turned into a pumpkin.
Yep.
And Brady would be a good fit there. Is he a good fit for that offense of Kyle Shanahan?
Is he a better fit than Aaron Rodgers?
No,
not for that offense.
No, given the mobility. Right. So I have my doubts when it comes to guys like that and fits with those teams.
So ultimately it's going to be like, what are Brady's options? You know, is it like New England, Tennessee, Tampa? Vegas is interesting because he was ready to live there before. Obviously it's not close to Miami, but you wonder, you know, they set up the private plane thing. Maybe they make the old allowance that Roman Pfeiffer got back in the day, which is, hey, you can fly home, you know, on Sunday night for Monday, Tuesday. We'll see you on Wednesday.
And he just struck that deal with Wynn out there. Did you see this?
No. What's the deal with Wynn?
Oh, to put TB12 in the Wynn Casino out there.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Vegas is the one that probably on paper makes the most sense. Josh McDaniels, you might not win as many games as you like, but at least you're going to have fun. Because you're throwing a Devontae Adams, you're throwing a Darren Waller, Hunter Renfrow, Matt Collins was pretty good. Who knows? Maybe Odell Beckham Jr. will be like, hey, I definitely want to play with Tom Brady. I mean, you could see Odell Beckham Jr. wanting to be in Vegas. So at least you could have fun there, right?
Yeah. So here it is. TB12 body coaches exclusively at Wynn Las Vegas. If you've ever admired the exceptional play of 7-time Super Bowl champion Tom Brady, you can now access his game-changing system of wellness principles only at Wynn Las Vegas. TB12, the revolutionary performance and recovery method pioneered by Brady and his body coach Alex Guerrero, partnering with Wynn to offer sessions with TB12 body coaches exclusively in Las Vegas at the Fitness Center and Encore. Yeah, when I saw this week, I was
I didn't see that one.
Yeah. I mean, it was a press release that went out. And by the way, who's going to Vegas to, like, work out, too? And that whole business model, I don't think it's taken off the way that he wanted to.
I would agree. Hey, do you see that Brady brand stuff? That got That got ushered into the rack and TJ Maxx and Marshall real fast.
Oh, it did?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
Last time I was out in L.A., like, I was at the Nordstrom out there, which is the first time I'd ever seen it. And that was
it's crap.
6 months ago. And then I went back this time. They didn't have any of it. It was replaced by all the stuff from your girl, Livy Dunn.
Oh, yeah.
Viore.
Viore.
It was all the men's Viore. Yeah, like, where that Brady brand stuff had been, it was all the Livy Dunn hot stuff.
Yeah, it's funny. Doing Christmas shopping, my wife and I were at the Nordstrom in, look at us, sounded fancy, at the Burlington Mall.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I saw it up close. It's crap. It's overpriced crap. I'm not surprised to hear that it's on like the...
How about that logo? Could it be any more basic?
Stinks.
It's just like so generic. I was like, Tom, why would you do this?
Too many yes men surrounding him. Jason in the car next here on Gaspar Murray. Hello, Jason.
Hey, guys. Great show. I was calling because I feel like, you know, it doesn't get talked about enough about, you know, the Patriots are in a quandary with, obviously, Mac. We're kind of stuck with him. Can't really upgrade unless we get Lamar. But the Patriots' weapons. I mean, you look at a team like Tennessee. They lost A.J. Brown. Saw what happened there with an average quarterback. I mean, for the Pats to be able to be in games, come back, play that style of football, they need to upgrade their weapons. We can't compete with top quarterbacks with top weapons if we don't have either.
Yeah, so that would require them trading for a wide receiver, whether that's DeAndre Hopkins. T. Higgins is going to be up, so maybe, you know, he gets franchised in Cincinnati. Maybe they pull a trade there. Because there's no, like, holy crap, take the top off the defense wide receiver that's going to be a free agent. Jacoby Myers, if you look at most lists, is the best wide receiver that's going to be a free agent. And they should sign him, whether it's Brady, Mac Jones, whoever. Especially if it's Mac Jones, by the way. If they believe in him, and look, I think he's going to be the guy here next year. But Jacoby Myers, to me, feels like that's his Coats to Bledsoe, the Edelman to Brady.
Yeah, it's like his security blanket.
Yeah. And so they're going to have to pony up for him. Will they? I have my doubts.
Yeah, I kind of do too, because I think they sort of feel like at that slot position, you know, we make you. You don't make us go. You know, we'll just find the next guy. The interesting thing too, we haven't talked a lot about this, but just Mac Jones. You know, where are people on Mac Jones? Where's the organization on Mac Jones? He certainly didn't get any ringing endorsements from Bill at the end of the year. Not like he did at the start of training camp, when Bill went on and on about how it was so obvious how much better he was in year two. So where are people on Mac Jones? Because one of the things that, like, I've pointed out, Jim, about Mac Jones and Bill Belichick is that when you look at last year, you basically have to sink one of these guys to save the other. Either all those people who were blowing me on Mac Jones after his rookie year have to be like, well, he wasn't quite as good as we thought. Or you have to go and look at Belichick and say, man, wow, he made such a poor coaching decision with these two guys that he set back a potential franchise quarterback in Mac Jones. It's like one or the other. Just to save one of your guys that you want to be an apologist for, you have to sink the other. It's unavoidable.
Howard and Randolph with a good question. Go ahead, Howard.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, obviously, Bill O'Brien would be the best choice for the OC. I got three questions. One, who makes the final decision on hiring him? Two, if he does come here, would he be the successor for Belichick as head coach? And three, if he does come here, how does that affect Gerard Mayo?
So he says, who wants O'Brien? Is it Kraft or Belichick? Which one of them?
I think it's more the Krafts. That's just my opinion. You know,
I think so too.
I don't know that, but I think it's more the Krafts. It's been Mike Giardi and others have reported that Bill O'Brien is somebody that, you know, upper management is interested in. So take that for, I mean, what, you know, upper management. He could just say Belichick. Who's more upper management than Belichick? What's the buffer between Belichick and the Krafts? There isn't one.
Yeah, right.
There's no person there.
And I think he was more than happy to go into yet another season with Matt Patricia as the play caller and Joe Judge in the
think so, too.
You know?
Like, I think if they had made the playoffs, that he would have. I think he would have politicked for that.
Absolutely. He mentioned Gerard Mayo.
You know,
since the last time we met, you know, we saw the press release and all that, but he hadn't canceled the meeting with the Carolina Panthers yet to be the head coach there. I think that's crazy, Chris. Like, unless you have something in writing saying, like, you're going to be the assistant head coach or the next in line, you take those interviews. You never know. Like, you might bowl someone over. But Art brought up a good point, too. Maybe there's someone else in that office that ends up a GM somewhere else down the road. You might bowl that person over. Like, you take those interviews.
Yeah, and you know, I sort of speculated, posited before, like, oh, you know, maybe it's easy for him to walk away from it because he feels like it's a sham interview. I was disabused of that notion. I was told definitely not a sham thing. They were, like, legit interested.
For Rooney Rule reasons, you mean, for sham interviews?
Yeah, yeah. Because, yeah. You know, sometimes that happens. Like, yeah. My former colleague, Shalice Manza-Young, wrote a great column for Yahoo about how that's still going on. But this was not the case for Mayo. This was not, like, just, like, a sham Rooney Rule deal. Like, they were legit interested. So for him to walk away from that, I think, is kind of surprising. And it makes you wonder what guarantees he's gotten either in writing or verbally that he feels like he can just walk away from, because he stated many a time his goal is to be an NFL head coach. So to walk away from that, I'm curious what he's gotten, what assurances he's gotten that would allow him to feel comfortable doing that.
All right, we'll run through more calls as it relates to the Patriots and maybe Brady coming back here if they got Bill O'Brien. But when we come back in our long commercial-free segment, I want to touch on the boos heard throughout New England last night. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, please stay tuned, because I'm telling you, if you're pissed at the Red Sox, oh, you want to hear this. It's so great. Gaspar Murray coming up right after these.
Oh, well, no, that's a good point.
Does that offensive line look like something you'd want to be data behind in your last year?
No.
Chris Gaspar. Big Jim Murray.
Give me that which I desire.
It's Gaspar and Murray on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We will have fan questions coming up.
Get there. Last time I was sitting up here was 3 years ago. So where was the organization 3 years ago? Organization was coming off an 84-win season. That team had shown in 2019 had good players, but the team wasn't good enough. There wasn't a whole heck of a lot coming. You guys know that. You follow this organization. You know there wasn't a whole lot coming. So we had two choices, right? We could keep going. We could drive right off that cliff. You guys have seen big market teams do it before and end up rebuilding for half a decade. That's not acceptable. That's not acceptable to you guys. That can't happen in Boston. So what we had to do was find a way to turn that car around before we drove off the cliff. Now, that's hard to do if you want to win at the same time. Now, fortunately, we are blessed with great resources in this organization, always have been, have confidence that we always will be. So the question is, how do we get more young talent into the organization and still win at the same time? And that's what we were committed to doing, was building that foundation of young talent up at the same time as we used those resources in the here and now to try to give us a chance to win.
Tough to find some of the ones that have, like, clear boos, but if you haven't seen this yet, this blew up on Twitter late last night. Red Sox kicked off their winter weekend in Springfield at the casino out there. And, you know, this is what they do for all the season ticket holders. They're real Red Sox fans.
Yeah.
It's not just like I happen to, you know, stumble in there and be like, yeah, oh, it's John Henry and Chaim Bloom. I'm going to go to Boo. No, these are hardcore money-paying Red Sox fans.
It's supposed to be a feel-good festival.
Yeah. Frankly, year in, year out, I've always looked at this as one of the dorkiest events in the city. Like, it's just like, yay, it is. It's all like,
wee, Red Sox.
Yeah, like, oh, we can't wait for the season to start to use the Shaughnessy line. It's like a full Roachy type event. Like, it's always like puppy dogs, rainbows, good feelings, yay. They got a revolt last night. And that was, I tried to search around for some of the ones you could really hear some of the boos, but it's tough to edit out because you hear swears too. I'll tell you, it's like, I love it. This is what I want. It's good to know this still exists, but if you watch this, it's kind of uncomfortable. In fact, so I even got a text last night from my cousin John, who is a Red Sox season ticket holder and is like the nicest guy you've ever met. Have you met my cousin John?
I don't think I have.
He's like, he's the nicest guy you'll ever meet. And he texts me and says, hey, Jim, I rarely text you about radio sports stuff, but I'm at winter weekend and ownership was just actively and at points brutally heckled and booed. In fact, Jared Carabas lobbed some bombs of questions about luxury tax and Xander Bogaerts. John Henry was visibly uncomfortable and taken aback. Chaim really got it bad, but sat there and tried to defend. I'm sure Nesson will heavily edit it, no doubt, when it airs on Monday. I'm not sure you're expecting this. I'm sure you've seen some of the videos that have been posted to Twitter. They don't do it justice. Thought you'd like to know. Hope all is well.
They don't do it justice.
Don't do it justice. So people are pissed and good. Chris, I thought these days were over. And we know, like, we'll hear from the baby Celtics fans coming up. Give Tatum his respect. He's the MVP. He mostly sucked the other night. It's great that they won, but we'll get to that. Like, I just thought that this, like, with the, like, a lot of the fanboy bloggerism stuff that goes on now, and I just didn't think this existed anymore, especially with, like, real venom from Red Sox fans, which you and I grew up in a time of like, oh, it was the best. It was almost maybe better when they were losing because people were so pissed that it was visceral. I remember going to games, oh, it's the best. It's great that they won the four titles. Yeah, sure. But that's when it was at its peak, and people still feel this way. It was so, it was heartwarming to me to watch this last night. Literally, I saw some of these videos like, oh, it's so good. People still care. And that's the thing. So I don't know how they feel about this from, Henry on down to Sam Kennedy. Maybe some of the spin is like, we do like hearing this. But if they were visibly uncomfortable, a little bit shook, and you see some of these videos, you can tell they're like, oh, my God, I didn't think it was going to be like this. They should be happy about this. I don't know if they feel that way, but they should, because apathy is the worst place you can be.
It is. It is. And that's where I think people were with the team. At least it felt that way at points last year. I think they were apathetic in 2020. Like, the worst thing you can be is completely irrelevant. You're not emitting any emotion from anybody. You're not evoking any emotion from anybody. It's better that people are sort of pissed off. I think they sort of brought this on themselves. I'll say two things here. One, I think it would really behoove John Henry to get in front of the media, like speak to media members. I understand why he did that thing with the fans, but I'm telling you, like, however he feels about doing press, it wouldn't have been that bad. I'm sorry. Like, you're not going to get booed by Dan Shaughnessy. He might ask you a tough question you don't like, but you can sort of avoid all this stuff if you speak to the media. So that's one. The other thing with them is I think that they brought this on themselves by celebrating signing Rafael Devers like they'd won another World Series or put a man on Mars. It's like, great, you did the right thing, but Rafael Devers was already going to be on this team. Like, tell me how we're better in 2023, and don't tell me it's Justin Turner and Adam Duvall. The thing that I think annoys a lot of Red Sox fans, at least it annoys me. I'll speak for myself on this. What is the plan to be better right now? I don't see any plan for this organization other than wait around until Heim's prospects are at their peak and pay off, which to me is probably going to be 2025. That doesn't mean the prospects won't get to the big league sooner. They will. You're going to see Tristan Casas this year as a starter. You saw him last year. But it's not like guys get in the majors and they're at their peak like from the jump. That is rare. So it's probably going to take a couple of years. And so when you ask them these questions and they start talking about, ferociously protecting their best prospects and some of these other things, there's no answer that tells you the time frame is 2023 where they're going to be competitive. Like, they just give you lip service to this. And I'm a big believer in this in sports. Actions speak louder than words.
Totally.
And the actions from that team tell you that they are in a rebuild and that they're going to wait until their prospects are ready to really put their chips into the middle of the table and try and contend. That everything in the meantime is some sort of, basically Potemkin village of contention, the illusion of contention, as Shaughnessy says, to distract you from what's really happening. And I think that these Red Sox fans who went to this event weren't having it, are annoyed by that, and they're just not buying, Chaim Bloom and what he's selling. The thing about Chaim Bloom, and he's a nice guy, I like him, and I think he honestly believes what he's selling you, but he has turned out to be so much more of a strict ideologue than I think anybody thought in terms of, like, there's one way to build a sustainable team, and it's this. You build through the farm system, and we just have to do this and wait around. And I just think in this market, patience runs out quickly. And I almost wonder, does patience run out when John Henry has to sit through that, and it's because of Chaim Bloom? Is there a point where patience runs out for John Henry? If he looks at it midway through this year and he's still dealing with getting heckled out in public and the team is on pace to finish last again, where he's like, we can't wait around. I can't deal with this.
Oh, someone's head's going to roll and it would be his. Chaim Bloom would be out. Yeah. And look, it just comes down to this. Red Sox fans, and this is, I didn't think it was still like this. Oh, it made me so happy. Red Sox fans, Boston fans, like, you care so much. But when you're being charged big time prices for a suck product, well, you're going to hear about it. And so that's what you get. They bought a lot of love here, and rightfully so, winning four titles. Since
absolutely.
They did. But people also, you're still the Red Sox. I've said this for a while now. You're the Red Sox now in name only. Do you think the Dodgers would do this right now? The Yankees? Even the Houston Astros? No, they wouldn't bottom out like this, five last place finishes in 11 years, and then sell you crap and say, oh, no, it's good. No, we're still going to compete.
Yeah.
You stink. Like,
all those teams have good farm systems. Yeah, like, right. They're able to compete at the major league level, spend money, and do stuff with the farm system at the same time. Like, It's not easy. Don't get me wrong. But again, it's not like trying to land a man on Mars. And they make it sound like so more complicated than it really is. Here's where I will defend the Red Sox, though. And I'm with you. I this sort of passion, even vitriol, I enjoy because that's old school Boston sports, you know, that you and I remember growing up. I will say this, though. There is a little bit of a double standard because we talk about the four World Series and all that stuff. And people are like, OK, what have you done for me lately? But then, like with the Patriots, you have these old timers. Like, I've been a fan since 1960. I don't care what they do. Belichick won 6 Super Bowls. I sat on the metal benches. You don't get this with the Patriots.
No, you don't.
You don't. It's a very different vibe, even though it's a lot of the same fans. It's not the what have you done for me lately? I don't care what you've won. Give me a winner. It's more like, oh my God, how can you say that about Bill? I was at Harvard Stadium when they were terrible. Oh, this is the great. How can you say that about Bill Bell? It's a lot of that.
Yeah. Although I do think it's starting to turn a little bit, though, because of the way that this season went, at least towards the end.
But can you imagine, like, Bill and Kraft sitting up
getting booed
something
like that?
This?
Oh, no.
That would never happen.
No, and I think a lot of that has to do with this haughty attitude of John Henry that John Henry hides. At least Robert and the Krafts, like, they'll get in front of it. Like, they'll answer questions. Not John Henry, like you said, like, he won't meet with you guys. Like,
no,
it's crazy.
It's been years.
Are they booing me, Smithers? Yeah, that's right. I mean, oh, yeah. No, search around for it. I mean, I retweeted some of this stuff last night, too. Oh.
Boo ends.
Yeah. Are they booing me? Are they booing me, Sam? Oh, they are. They're not cheering me on for the 4 titles? 5 last place finishes in 11 years. This is what you get. Because here's the thing, too. All right, yeah, the 4 titles, awesome.
And, awesome.
You know, going back 25 years ago, Chris, if you told me they'd win 1, I would have said,
oh, my God, I would have given my left arm for that.
The team, this is the core of it, though. These fans that go, these fans that pay the money, these fans that are season ticket holders, the way the team is run now is so different from the way it was run when they won those 4 titles. Period, end of story. And they've had it with these nerd ways and dumpster diving for trash. Build a real team. You're the Red Sox. You have the money. There's no excuse. And people have had it, and good on them last night. You drive all the way to Springfield. Springfield. You might as well drive to Cleveland, in my opinion, to go out there to boo them. Oh, good on you all.
I think it was really more of a Shelbyville idea.
Yeah. Shelbyville, eh? All right, we went over. We got to get to the Sports Up Celtics show coming up next. You know, when he yelled at Chris.
Yeah,
and,
whiny
and
baby our basketball fans. Yeah. Stand on.
Say nice things about deck. Tatum. Headlines here, and then Celtics for the next hour. If we didn't get to your calls, call back at like 1.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.